Hi, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the prayer meeting. It's good of you to join us. So before we listen to the word of God, let's commit this time to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your presence. We want to thank you that you've been teaching us to be more and more sensitive to the presence of the Holy Spirit. And you've been opening our eyes to this, to the gift, Lord, to the reality of your presence in our lives, to the enabling and understanding that you've given us. So, Lord, we just pray that you would anoint this moment, that you continue to speak to us, continue to reveal, Lord, the blessedness of being the temple of the Holy Spirit, of having you dwell in our lives. We commit this time into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, today's sermon title, sharing title, is Knowing Every Spiritual Blessing. And it's taken from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Okay, so let me read the text first. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believe, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Okay. So there's a lot going on in this text, and we will just do it section by section. And so before we just look at the text, I just want to put this up again. I spoke about this last Sunday in regards of what spiritual discernment is. So, of course, all of us can understand scriptures, but it's the Holy Spirit who helps us to value scriptures, you know, and convicts us, you know, to value it in a way that it transforms our life and understand how God shapes us in his image. And you can see all these things happening within us, that we are renewed, we are transformed, we understand our calling, we are convicted to turn away from the old, and it strengthens our devotion to God, which leads us to Christ-likeness. So, it's important that you keep this in mind as you listen to sermons, as you listen to, and as you read the Word of God. You have to be mindful that as you pray, this is the activity of the Holy Spirit. This is the gift that God has given us, that ability to value, to understand the richness, the relevance, you know, the importance of the Word of God, and how that words just purifies us and brings light and hope into our lives. Okay, so just think about that, and let's go to the text. So we'll be doing the first section. Okay, he chose us. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, okay, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Okay, so of course, one of the key ideas is God choosing us, but let's think about what blessing is. And when we use the word blessing, in fact, now people use it very frequently and they refer to a lot of things. And perhaps it has been used so much that we are quite uncertain what blessing means in texts like this and what a spiritual blessing means when it comes to the scriptures. So much of what how people use the word blessing has to do with, you know, some kind of favor or wealth or thing that you've accumulated. So if you have a nice house, you're blessed with a nice house, you got a good job, you get a holiday, you're blessed with a holiday, and so forth. And if you have a lot of wealth, then people say, oh, your life is so blessed. Okay. And yes, you know, yeah, you find that when the Bible uses word, it doesn't fall in that category. It is not talking about that kind of blessing. In fact, it is used of very different groups of people, you know, from the richest to the poorest, from the suffering, you know, to the comfortable. And it speaks of a different nature of a blessing. And it speaks in context of our relationship with God. So you find, you know, there are a few scriptures there in which the word blessed is used. And I put up some question, what is the blessing, you know, and in whose eyes is the blessing? So it's whether, you know, in our eyes or in God's eyes. And what is the context of the blessing? And what is the purpose of this blessing? And then who pronounces and defines the blessing? So when we look at the act of creation, when God created everything and created Adam and Eve, and then he blessed them. And the scripture tells us he blessed them this way, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and every living creature that moves on the ground. So when you find that when God blessed Adam and Eve, it was fruitfulness, you know, it is that that they would populate the earth and they would rule over the earth in a way that glorifies God. So God gave them authority and a sense of dominion over all things. And you find that in the whole story of making them in his image. So they were his representatives on earth and they were given that authority to rule in his name, to represent his interests, his glory. So you can see blessing is said in that sense, God granted favor in that sense, all right? And then there's another well-known blessing. This is the Aaronic, the priestly blessing, which the Lord commanded the priest to bless as how to bless the people of Israel. So here it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And it has several elements there. Okay, so it's more about walking under the favor of God. All right, it's God who keeps the people, who's God's countenance, you know, his face looks upon the people favorably, okay? And God's favor is, it's like the rain, like water, like all these images. It's the best thing that can happen when God looks at you and smiles at you, okay? And when God turns his face towards you, as in contrast to turn away from you because of your sin, of your shortcomings, of your wickedness, you know, rather what has happened when God has chosen the people of Israel, you know, God has set them apart and has instituted the sacrifices and cleansed the people and brought them to himself. And now his face turns towards them and there is peace between them and God. Okay, so it means all these things. It means that the relationship between the people and God has been restored. And because that relationship is restored, there's a sense of security and hope because God is their God, is their king, is their leader. He dwells with them and he's with them. So that is the idea of blessedness. Okay, so I mean, there's so many, but I'm just going through. And then there's another one I've taken from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 to 8. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the streams. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves always are green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Okay. So you find that, you know, the blessing The blessed person is the one planted in God, and he draws from God. And because he draws from God, all the circumstances that he faces, all right, you know, when the heat comes, when the drought comes, it does not worry the person because, you know, God is nourishing and strengthening the person. All right, so blessing is that in the midst of any difficult circumstances of challenges, and in the midst of exile, as Jeremiah speaks of it, but God's people will be kept, okay? God's people will be preserved, and they will prosper under him, and they will be his people because of who he is. And of course, on the other side, you see, you know, excerpts from the Beatitudes, and you find God blessing the poor, you know, the peacemakers, the persecuted, the meek, the hungry. And there's this group of people, you know, that are broken, that are hurting, and they are before God. Okay, they have not done anything special. They're just looking to God for him to do what only he can do. And Jesus, who came to represent God's answer to all these prayers, is saying, you know, all these people who have been waiting for this redemption, for hope, for life, you know, they are going to be blessed because they are looking to the Lord. You know, they're waiting on him rather than taking comfort in a broken world. You know, they're giving up everything, you know, looking to him for hope and life. Okay, so you find that there's such a rich definition of blessing as you go on and on. But at the heart of it, it's God. It's our relationship with him being restored. It's about him looking at us kindly. It is him entering our life. It is him setting things right and ordering our life circumstances for his glory, for his purpose. And because he's doing it, we thrive, we grow. You know, we are strong, we are rewarded, we have hope, and the list goes on. Okay, so God blesses us in that sense. And so when God blesses us, everything has changed. Okay, so you find that instead of being cursed, you are blessed. You know, and that's what the invitation Paul is doing here. He wants the people, before he tells them anything, and that's what many of the episodes do, you know, before they tell you the imperatives, what you need to do and what you need to exercise. You know, those actions are meaningless if you don't know what God has done for you. Okay. So it's kind of beautiful and at the same time, you know, interesting and very rich to understand that Paul is saying, you know, first of all, you know, before anything happens, okay, you must know that God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Okay, and that's important for us to know. Even, you know, when we think about it, we should know what God has given us. Okay, and we must stand on the promises, because that's what faith is all about. Standing on the reality, on the fact that God has blessed us. God has a good plan for us. That our identity is in Christ. That we have a God-given destiny. In fact, when Jack was preaching about spiritual warfare, and scripture, the text tells us to stand our ground. This is the ground on which we stand. That we are God's people, that we are blessed by him, that we are filled by him, and this is what the scripture invites us to do, okay? So that's the key thing. And then the next one, you know, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. So interestingly, there's a specific location, you know, where this blessing is operating, okay? So the NIV application commentary, you know, gathers together all the three times this term is used in the book of Ephesians. And so it's the place of exaltation for Christ and believers, you know, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. Okay, and that's the thing, you know, it's a place of for revelation of God's wisdom to the rulers and authorities. And more negatively, as we heard last week, you know, it's a place of battle between believers and evil spiritual forces. All right. So it is a spiritual realm where the spiritual beings dwell, and we are spiritual beings and we are part of it. It is that reality that God has made, and everything comes from that. Okay. This is a lot, but if you want to have a picture of understanding this, one way to look at it is the whole concept of the incarnation, that Christ became flesh. So God is a spiritual being. And therefore, when John writes, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. So it speaks all the qualities of God. And then through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that He has made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness has not overcome Him. So you can see all the elements of, you know, God dwelling in this heavenly realms and bringing everything into life and creating all the spiritual beings, all right, that stands before Him and serve Him and those who oppose Him, all right. And so there's this thing about light and darkness, and that comes into play into this materialistic world. You know, the light takes a form of flesh and it lives with us. So the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world, and He was in the world. And though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or the will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory, and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the spiritual, you know, manifested itself in the flesh. And the thing is, those who believe Him, okay, were born of the Spirit, like John says in chapter 3, you know, and we are born in the Spirit, and our spirit is renewed in the sight of God. And in that spiritual place, we are part of God's family, God's truth. So you can see that this has happened. Something has been decreed in the spiritual realm, you know, and that's what Paul is saying, you know. Through the act of Jesus Christ, God has done something for us that in, you know, the spiritual realms, you know, in before Him, we are His children, you know, and we no longer belong to the power of darkness. And that's what is coming. Okay. So what he says, you know, in the sight of God, we are. The plan is to be a people that is holy, you know, consecrated and blameless, unblemished, you know, in His sight. Okay, holy and blameless in His sight. Okay, so we have become something God can receive and accept. Okay, and this is not an intrinsic quality; rather, it's given to us by God. Okay, and that's the whole idea. You find that much of the language of the New Testament, as you're seeing chosen and people and so forth, you know, all this you have heard before in the Old Testament. It's couched in it. And all these ideas of consecration and being unblemished is ideas that are spoken again and again in the Old Testament in regards to sacrifices. Okay. So you find that, you know, in the Day of Atonement, what we see in the picture is that the priest, after sacrifice, he takes the blood and he has to sprinkle it on the Ark of Covenant. And he sprinkles it in the altar, he sprinkles it in the tent of meeting. It just goes on. Because what has happened is that the sin of the people and the sin of the priest has made this place, has destroyed this place, has blemished this place. Okay. And therefore, because it's blemished, it's not it's unacceptable. And that's the same thing. Sin has mangled us, blemished us, destroyed us. And because of that, we are unacceptable before God. We cannot come before Him. So Paul is saying that's exactly what's happening. You know, all these people are to face condemnation, but rather God has blessed them. God's favor and countenance shines on them simply because He has now, you know, He has really done it. What people thought is impossible, the fact that we can, sin can be undone. The damage sin has caused can be reversed. It has happened through Jesus Christ, and His blood has been sprinkled on us. And now we are consecrated. Okay, we are here, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are blameless, you know, unblemished in the sight of God because of the blood of Christ on us. Okay, so you know, and you see, when the people who are familiar with the Old Testament texts, and when the Jew and the people of Israel hear this text, they understand this very clearly, you know, because they know of their constant failures and constant rejection of God and being exiled from your own country and being in such a horrible place. But then, you know, Paul makes this distinction, you know, the return from exile is not physical going back to Israel, but rather this spiritual thing, okay, that has been destroying you and hurting you, you know, this thing is going to be removed. You know, in the real spiritual altar, the blood of Christ is sprinkled, and you have now, you know, truly been consecrated and being a people that is unblemished in the sight of God. Okay. All right. And therefore, the language of being a chosen people comes into play. Israel is God's chosen people. Okay. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Okay, so you can see another image that is running in this whole thing about being chosen and called out, okay, and sanctified. So the context of the story was Israel was slaves in Egypt. So they were under the forces, the control, the power of Pharaoh, and he determined how they should think and how they should function and how they should live. And you know, they had no choices. They had no dreams. They had no land of their own. They had no rights. Everything has been removed from them. And that is what has happened to us spiritually, okay? With darkened minds, which the scripture tells us, which we have heard over the past few weeks in regards of understanding. You know, we have no discernment. We cannot understand and value this, the goodness of God and the message of the gospel. So all this, we've been alienated from God simply because of these dark forces of our life. And here God is saying, you know, that when he calls you up, when you're acceptable, you know, you're called out of darkness, you're set free, and you're called also to be, you know, put in a place, that a land that is flowing with milk and honey, a land of abundance, of fruitfulness. And that's what Jesus says, you know, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit for that last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Okay, and that's the restoration that is taking place because of God's spiritual blessing on his people. Okay, and that's how God is has blessed each one of us. Okay. So when you look at this text, you begin to see, you know, that it's an amazing blessing here. All right. And you know, he chose us not because of any intrinsic, you know, quality of what we do. Perhaps I'm a better person, I'm a good person, everything and all that. Okay, he chose us because he has this plan. He always had this plan of, you know, receiving humanity as his family. And there are spiritual forces at work. And Satan tempted Adam and Eve and brought destruction into this world. And Satan continues to blind, and people, you know, align themselves with these dark forces. All right. You know, but God calls out of us, calls out to us. Okay, and you find that this is done, you know, before creation. It was in the heart of God to always have a holy people before him. Okay. And that holy people is more than just a people, you know. I mean, Pharaoh saw the Israelites as slaves, but God sees his children, his people as his children. Okay. So again, the spiritual blessing is always shaping the relationship that we have with God. Okay, it's always making us understand that God looks to us with favor. God looks to us with kindness. God sees us as his very own. Okay, and you see that, see what see that in Jesus's teaching, you know, helping people to understand this is what's happening. Okay. And all this has happened because of what Christ has done, which we'll see in the next following weeks. So it's hard to do this. So the blessedness of God is revealed in his desire to choose us to be his sons and daughters. We are his people, part of his family. And this is the blessedness that we have in God. And this is spiritual blessing that change that movement forward. So church, it's very important for us to understand this because, you know, what we are seeing and what we are receiving has taken place in the spiritual realm. And we can understand and grow in this truth only when we exercise our discernment of the spiritual realm. When we pray, when we seek God, when we hold on to the scriptures, you know, when we confess these truths in our life. You see, one problem that has always happened is that we have so little focus on spiritual realities that all our focus are on carnal realities, on our world, what we do, what we eat, what we have, and so forth. And therefore, we don't understand how these spiritual realities affect our day-to-day life. You know, we don't understand how this peace with God can actually shape our hearts to be peaceful amidst difficult circumstances. We don't understand how that this special blessing and favor of God can actually help us to overcome all the toxicity and cruelty that exists in this world. All right, because this is what God is saying, and he wants us to understand. He's telling us, yes, you know, you are living lives and you face a lot of difficulty and there are challenges here, but you need to see what you have in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is writing. And he uses the word in Christ, I think 12 or 14 times. And that's the plea, you know, do you need to know actually what has happened? And in spite of all these things happening, in spite of Paul himself being in prison, in spite of the persecution that is taking place, the people of God can rejoice when they are filled with the Spirit, when they come before God, you know, and are aware of these spiritual truths in our life. So that's the thing. You find that many of us sometimes, because of all the things that we face, the enemy tells us to give up ground, okay? And you find that often people would say, oh, I don't feel spiritual. I'm not blessed. You know, God is not with me. And I'm not a good person or whatever it is. And that's the time when you give up ground to Satan, okay? Because it is not in our hands to determine whether we are blessed. All we need to know is when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And that is what Paul is driving and says, you have access to God. And because you have access to him, you have everything. And he goes on to say, more than that, you have to understand that from day one, before everything was made, God was planning to have you close to him, okay? God wanted you to be a people chosen, called, and blessed, you know, call his sons and daughters, bearing his image for his goodness. And Paul really moves that idea, which we'll see later, into the fact that, you know, God has done this because he loves us dearly. And church, that's your blessing. God loves you dearly. No, whatever it is, you are loved by God. And God has done all this. And when we look at the cross, and when we think about the blood sprinkled, the sacrifice made, and we think about all that God has done, it is because he loved us, that he himself endured, you know, the curse, separation. Okay. He was mangled so that we can be restored. So this is what God has done. And therefore, we must be mindful, you know, that because we are the holy, the people of God, the Greek word agios, you know, the people who stand in the presence of God. And so if you want to imagine that in the spiritual realm, as you think about it, you know, just imagine there's just darkness and then there's this place of light, you know, God's glory. And then there's a great number of people, you know, standing before him. And that's where we are. You know, the picture in the book of Revelation begins now. We stand before him, we offer incense, we pray, we look to him, because we are his chosen people. So without understanding this fully, it's very difficult to do any ministry, to figure out things in life. And that's why one of the purposes of, you know, strengthening ourselves in the spirit is to strengthen ourselves in understanding how richly God has blessed each one of us. So we're going to go in a time of prayer, and I'm going to invite all of you to pray. Afterwards, Andrew will also lead the next remarks. But as we, I would like you all to take some time to reflect on the blessedness, to understand, you know, whatever it is in Christ, you have every spiritual blessing, and to allow the Spirit to teach you how to stand in this truth for the glory of God. Let us pray. We praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Just take some time to just be in the presence of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to each one of you. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Lord, we want to thank you. We pray, Lord, that you open our eyes, Lord, that you open our heart, that we will understand that we are people who are blessed in the most special way, Lord. You look to us, Lord, as your children. You are the father who runs out and embraces the prodigal son. You would protect, teach, and guide your children. And even when we are weak, your blessing will enable us to thrive, to flourish, to stand firm. This is the gospel. This is the faith. This is the truth. This is the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sandals of good news, Lord. All of it hinges on this reality that you have blessed us. And dear Lord, we live in a time where then, because of the circumstances, that Satan is trying to rob this peace from our hearts. The enemy is trying to get us to deny your favor. The same way he tempted Eve. The enemy is trying to tell us that we don't have the blessing. We have to ignore your word in order to get the blessing. The enemy trying to discourage us and saying that you are holding back the best from us. But no, God, what Jesus did says it all. There's nothing in our lives that can cancel out that act of grace, that act of sacrifice, that act of love. There is no power greater than that blood of Christ that has been sprinkled, which has purified us, which has made us holy and acceptable in your sight. This is our spiritual blessing. So if we pray, God, that in a time like this, that you will teach us to come to you in order to be strengthened, to understand the reality of this blessing, to see the power of this blessing unfold in our lives each day. We are restored as your people. Therefore, we are your people doing your work. Let us see, Lord, and embrace these realities in our life. So, Lord, open our eyes, God. Strengthen us. Set us free, Lord Father, so that we may know that we are blessed. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, we want to praise you. We want to thank you. We just continue to lift this church into your hands. We pray that we will press in, that we will look to you, Lord Father. We pray that in this time, as we hear your word, as we begin to see the many good things you are doing, that there will be a restoration of joy and hope and peace within our hearts, Lord. Because we will be certain, Lord, that you love us, that you care. Dear Lord, we pray that through this restoration that there will be healing, Lord Father. Dear God, that the damage that sin has done, the bondages of old, dear Lord, will be broken. People will be set free to know you and to grow in your goodness, dear God. Dear Lord, we also pray that we will understand that we are blessed in a way that we can love, we can care, we can do your good works, Lord, in your name. And we pray that's what we will do, Lord, even as we pray for people to come into your kingdom. We pray that we will continue to be salt and light, that we will shine, dear God. As we look at all these things that are happening around the world, we will act as the blessed Lord Father, and we will overflow, Lord, with kindness and generosity. Dear God, that our hearts will not be shaken, not be influenced, Lord Father, by what others do, but rather your blessings will flow in and through our life. And we pray that you bless the work that we do. Bless our families, bless every relationship. Bless, Lord, the people around us. Bless the leaders of this nation, dear God. We pray, Lord Father, that as we proclaim your blessings, Lord, that it will change, it will bring the light and the goodness, Lord Father, because that's what you will do, dear Lord. So, Lord Father, lead us, Lord, in a time like this. We also pray for our church camp. We continue to ask you, Lord Father, to do a mighty thing as your people gather, that you would bless that meeting, Lord Father, that you would prepare our hearts, Lord, for a special encounter, Lord, with you. We also pray, Lord, for our Sunday services, our prayer meetings, and every ministry meetings, Lord, Father. Continue to anoint those moments. Continue, Lord, to glorify your name, Lord, in those places, in the hearts of your people. We thank you, Father. We give you all glory. Continue to be with us throughout this week. Bless all of us who are here, Lord, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.